Good morning, everyone. I'd like to thank each of you for tuning in with us here today. My name is Eric Hicks. I am the minister for the Hiawatha Church of Christ and the Sabetha Church of Christ. At the Church of Christ, our goal is simply to be New Testament Christians. We accomplish that by speaking where the Bible speaks and remaining silent where the Bible is silent. We use the New Testament as our exclusive guide in all religious matters today. If that is something that you have been searching for, we invite you to come and join us for worship service. In Hiawatha, we are located at 3rd and Osage. We begin on Sunday morning at 8:30 for Bible study, 9:30 for worship service, and then on Tuesday evening, beginning at 6, we have our midweek Bible study. In Sabetha, we are located at 3rd and Oregon. We begin on Sunday morning at 10:15 for Bible study, 11:15 for worship service. At 5 o'clock, we have our evening worship service. And then on Wednesday evening, beginning at 7, we have our midweek Bible study. If you're in the area, we would love to have you come and join us for worship service. And let us be New Testament Christians together. This morning, we are going to be in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 7 through verse number 10. If you have your Bibles and would like to follow along, certainly invite you to grab those and read along with me. Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 7, and we'll go through verse 10. Paul writes, he says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him." If we back up just a little bit to verse number 3, Paul here writes, he says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." One of the things you'll notice about verse 3 is Paul talks about that all the spiritual blessings are found in Christ Jesus. And now in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, he gets very specific about one of those, and he says that salvation is in Christ. And if we go back down to verse number 7 in Ephesians 1:7, again, he says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." And so again, in him is where the spiritual blessings are found, specifically salvation, and as verse 7 points out of Ephesians 1, redemption from our sins is found in Christ. And so this morning, verse 7 is going to be the focal point of our lesson this morning. And we're going to look at this redemption that we find in Christ Jesus. And I want us to notice several characteristics about what we see in verse number 7 that really points out about our redemption that we find in Christ. The first of these is found in the very first couple of words where he simply says, "in him." That is, in Christ Jesus. That's where the spiritual blessings and that's where the redemption is found in Christ. Moses' prophecy, he prophesied about the coming of Christ in Deuteronomy chapter 18, beginning in verse 15. He talks about another prophet that God would raise up that would speak his words to the people. And we certainly see that fulfillment in Christ Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it tells us that God, who at various times and various ways spoke in times past to the fathers through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And this, again, a fulfillment of what Moses prophesied about in Deuteronomy 18. And we find that fulfillment in the Gospels. We also find that confirmed by the Hebrew writer there in Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. When the birth of Christ was being announced in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, it was told that his name would be called Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. And so there's more prophecy about Christ, what his name would be, and what he would do. In John 1 and verse 29, when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, John declared, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And so Jesus is the one that is, it is in him that we have redemption, we have salvation. We also must note that it is only in Christ that we find that salvation for our souls. There simply is no other Savior. You remember in Acts chapter 4 when Peter and the other apostles were taken before the Sanhedrin and they were strictly warned to stop preaching Jesus as the Christ. Well, remember what Peter said about that. In verse number 12, he said, "There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Peter was not about to stop preaching Jesus as the Christ because there is no other salvation. There is no other Savior that could be preached or proclaimed that would offer salvation except through Christ. Jesus himself said in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And so it is only found in Christ. The only way to the Father is only through Jesus. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, Paul said this concerning the gospel message of Christ. He says in Galatians 1, beginning in verse 6, and we'll go through verse 9. He says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I now say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. And so Paul, he is very blunt, very forthwith about the gospel message of Christ. There is no other gospel that can save our souls except the one that was proclaimed to the Galatians, the people of the New Testament. It is only the gospel of Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, and only through him do we find salvation. And Paul is so animate about that. He tells them that even if we come back and preach something else to you, or an angel from heaven, doesn't matter who it is, if they're preaching something other than Christ, Paul said, let them be accursed. And so when we're looking at the salvation, it is found in him. In Christ is where salvation, where redemption of our souls is found. We also find, going back over to our text, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, not only in him, but also it is through his blood. Notice what Paul said. He said, it is in him we have redemption through his blood. And so when we're looking at the blood of Christ, that's where the power is. You remember back in Leviticus 17 and verse 11, it was told that life is in the blood. And it was the blood of the animals, the sacrifices that were made that God allowed to make atonement for the souls. Through that blood, the life that was in the blood. And of course, we understand that as Hebrews 10 and verse 4 points out, that it was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. So what did God do? Well, God provided another sacrifice, and that is the sacrifice we find through Jesus. Notice what he says. Hebrews chapter 10, we'll begin at verse 5, and we'll go through verse number 10. It says, therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you had prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it was written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And so I want us to notice life is in the blood. That is the blood that God has chosen to make atonement for our souls, but the blood of bulls and goats could not do it. It couldn't take away sin. And so it is only through Christ, as the Hebrew writer is pointing out, we have something so much better in Christ, that through Jesus Christ, his sacrifice one time, once for all, redemption is now made possible. And so we see the redemptive power of the blood of Jesus. Another aspect of the blood of Christ that we certainly want to understand is that when we're cleansed by the blood of Christ and we have come under that cleansing, it is not an invitation or a license to commit sin willfully. We must not treat the blood of Christ as though it is common. Notice what the Hebrew writer says about that in Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll begin at verse 26 and go through verse 31. In Hebrews 10, beginning in 26, he says this, for if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy, who has trampled the Son of God underfoot and counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know him who said, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so as we look at the blood of Jesus and the redemptive power that is in it, it is a great power to save, but it is something that we must not take for granted or not take as a license to sin. Rather, we have died to sin, we live for Christ. Paul in Romans chapter 6 points that out. He asks the question, you know, how shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he says, God forbid. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? And so again, when we're thinking about the blood of Jesus, it's certainly a great and precious blessing that we have. It is the redemption, a redemptive power that is only found in the blood of Christ. But we must not treat the blood of Jesus as common, but hold fast to the blessings that we find in him. Certainly not a license to sin willfully against God. But the last part, and going back over to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, another aspect that we want to look at this is we see that redemption is found in Christ Jesus. It is through his blood, and then it is according, as we see, according to the riches of his grace. Now, we talk about not sinning willfully, but we also want to understand that God's grace and his mercy for those who are repenting of their sins and are looking unto God and unto Christ for salvation, the riches of God's grace is indeed abundant. Consider some things about the great mercy that God has upon his people. Turn with me, if you will, over to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. I want us to note the great patience that God has for his people. Now, within this context, we see that Judah was getting ready to go into captivity. But before that, we find that God has exercised all kinds of patience, hoping that his people would repent and giving them every opportunity to do so. Notice what it says, 2 Chronicles 36, beginning in verse 15, and we'll go through verse 16. It says, And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Here it is that we find the great patience that God had for his people. He sent prophet to them after prophet, rising up early in the morning to declare the warnings of God, trying to get them to repent of their wicked ways. And yet they would not do it. Instead of being receptive, they were resistant to the messengers, themselves. They mocked them, they despised the words of God, and they scoffed at his prophets. And God kept sending them to them until there was absolutely no remedy at all. Again, God's patience and his mercy is there. It's abundant. And even when his people went into captivity, God still showed himself to be with his people even through that time. When you think about the mercy of God today, we look at God's great mercy. A great example of that is found in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Again, thumb with me, if you will, over there. 1 Timothy, the first chapter. And Paul is talking about the great mercy that God had upon him. Keeping in mind that at one point, Paul was a persecutor of Christianity. He persecuted churches, the church. He persecuted Christians, tried to destroy it and stomp them out wherever they might be found. And Paul was relentless at one point about doing this. Notice what Paul says in 1 Timothy 1, beginning in verse number 12, and we'll go through verse number 15. He says this. He says, And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Within this context, Paul is describing his former life before becoming a Christian, and he talks about all of the wicked things that he had done. He had done many things thinking that he must act against Christianity in the very beginning. And he was just absolutely against Christ, against Christianity, all. He thought he must destroy these things wherever it might be found. In fact, he had no violation of his conscience for doing so. In Acts 23 and verse 1, Paul said that, "Men and brethren, I have lived in good conscience unto this day." Paul thought that what he was doing was absolutely right in the sight of God. Considering it from Paul's perspective, Paul was a Pharisee. In fact, he says, "I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees." You know, he was very zealous for the traditions of the fathers. And when he looked at the preaching of Christ, he thought that was a departure from the law of Moses, and it had to be stopped. And yet what it was not a departure from the law of Moses, but as Jesus himself pointed out in Matthew 5 and verse 17, it was a fulfillment of the law. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to destroy the law. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And that's what Jesus did. His coming upon this earth was not a destruction against the law of Moses, but it was a fulfillment of all the things that the law of Moses was pointing to. And so when Paul finally realized that, on the road to Damascus, the Lord appeared to him, and he said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting thou me?" And Paul realized that this preaching of Jesus was indeed not a work of man, but it was indeed a work of God. And he quickly repented of his sins, and he started proclaiming the gospel of Christ immediately. We find in Damascus, it's interesting because he came there to destroy Christians. And instead, he was without his sight for 3 days, 3 nights. He didn't eat, he didn't drink. And when Ananias came to him, he laid his hands upon him that he might receive his sight. He says unto Paul, he said, "Why tarriest thou? Rise, be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Paul did so. And then what did he do? Well, he went out and he started proclaiming Jesus as the Christ right there in Damascus. And so we find this instant change in Paul. And so Paul says, "The grace of God was exceedingly abundant toward me." Because all of these things that he did going against Christianity, he did it ignorantly and with unbelief. And so he says this in a beautiful line in verse 15 of 1 Timothy 1. He says that this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Sadly, there are people that, no doubt, they think in their mind that, "Oh, I just can't be forgiven. I've done too many sins. I've done too many things wrong against Christ, and I just cannot obtain the forgiveness for the things I've done." Paul said, again, looking at him as an example, he says, "I am the chief among sinners because I persecuted the church. I persecuted Christ." And so when he's looking at these things, he says, "Use me as an example of one that has received mercy when he repented." When we come unto God, God's grace and His mercy is abundant. Anyone who has that desire to come unto Christ, put their faith in Him, repent of their sins, and they can have their sins washed away when they're obedient to the gospel, and they arise to walk in newness of life. What a joy it is to be a Christian and to understand the grace and the mercy that God has. There is no one that is immune to the grace of God. If they have that desire to repent and come unto Him, God's grace and His mercy is indeed abundant. And so again, when we think about Christ, the redemption power that is found in Him, we understand that, as Paul said in our text, just looking at that once again, he says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." So when we think about redemption, number one, it is only found in Christ Jesus. It is only found in the power of the blood He shed for us upon the cross. And it is according to the riches of His grace. And so when we come unto Christ, we put our faith and trust in Him. We repent of our sins. We confess His name before men. We are buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of our sins. Having our sins washed away, we arise to walk in newness of life. And redemption we find in Christ Jesus. It's a great blessing, only found in Him, but what a blessing it is. Would you like to know more about God and His holy word and His will for you? We invite you to log on to the website, HiawathaChurchOfChrist.com. That is HiawathaChurchOfChrist.com. There you'll find some information about the church, about the Word of God. You'll also be able to ask a Bible question or make a comment about today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you, and again, I want to thank each of you for tuning in with us here today. May God bless each of you, and have a great day.